B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I met you pictures. It's my China girl. I feel the wreck. I don't understand this story. It's one thing to transmit the virus, but you can't send hockey sticks over and then pour alcohol over them and then play with them.
You obviously didn't read the story. I'm not surprised.
I know. I know. This has been an issue for over a week now.
Coronavirus? I don't think it's been a week.
No. The hockey sticks.
The sticks.
Yes. A shortage of hockey sticks.
I thought Zoe was going to say he didn't understand the song China Girl, and he was going to give us his interpretation of it, which I wouldn't mind that happening.
Not going to do that.
Oh. yeah.
Not doing that one.
No.
I was like, oh, what are we about to? We're about to be delighted in an interpretation of China Girl
by
Scott Zolak.
Let's start with Let's Dance and then.
Put on your red
shirt. Let's work our way up to it.
Yeah.
Let's work our way up.
We'll dance the blues.
Here's the story from Matt Porter.
Porter.
There's that name again.
Another Porter.
You got an issue with that name.
Matt Porter.
Matt Porter at the Globe, Bruins beat writer. He says the infectious disease that has stifled life in China. It's had ripple effects for the National Hockey League. You want to talk about a first world problem. Here it is, boys. The highly customized sticks used by some 75% of NHL players are made in small batches at Chinese factories. With work and travel halted in that country since late January, as it combats an outbreak of coronavirus, the NHL has been unable to get fresh stock in the middle of its season. How about that? Bauer, which is headquartered in Exeter, New Hampshire, makes its pro sticks in China because everyone makes everything in China now.
Right.
So,
right.
As does its main competitor, Montreal-based CCM. According to numbers tracked by GearGeek.com, approximately 39% of NHL players are using Bauer. 36% are using CCM. There's also Warrior, based right here in Boston, and New Balance owns Warrior. Warrior Ice Rink that we go to all the time.
Yep.
They have 22% of the league. They make their sticks in Mexico. So all these stick makers for the National Hockey League are not producing any of their sticks in the United States. And right now, a large portion of the customized sticks are being manufactured in China, where no one has come back to work following Chinese New Year. It's shut down over there. Everything is halted.
There's people stuck on cruise ships, which is
they can't get their sticks now. Do you feel even a little bit bad for them?
No,
not even a little bit.
No,
like oh,
little foresight.
Poor babies. Yeah. You can't get your sticks. Mm-hmm. Oh, the whole stick thing in hockey is the dumbest thing ever. It's so over. Like
how so?
Now, these are made out of this composite.
Well,
right?
They make them all out of composite now, and they're all like $350.
Yeah,
it's like absurd.
Well. Is it absurd that batters want to have their own bats?
No, but are
they're made in Louisville.
Are they charging $350
for each bat? Who cares how much they cost? There's a specific stick that players use, and that's the one they want. That's the one they practice with. That's the one they play with.
I would say the same thing in baseball if all of a sudden they couldn't get their preferred baseball bat.
How do you have this?
What?
How do you have this type of shortage?
Get out there and play.
Do you break that many sticks?
Yeah, they break a ton of these, especially now. The composite sticks break like crazy.
You see a snapshot the other day of Pasternak at practice. It was almost like a complete curve, you know, just doing his one-timer. And I mean, that's the amount of torque.
Hardy, I would say the exact same thing about baseball players. Get out there and play. Get
it's
over
just
it.
Just any old bat.
Yes.
Just grab a bat.
Oh, well, you'll get your sticks back eventually.
Yeah, it looks like he does that Vladimir Guerrero.
Grab any tennis racket.
Nope.
Yes.
Any putter, any hockey stick, any bat.
Yes, the obsession with equipment is overrated in all sports.
I love that about Guerrero. Loved it. No gloves, no wristbands. Just
let's go.
Get up there, lumberjack. Tack some balls.
Here's the problem. They're making them like bourbon. Small batches at Chinese factories. Mm. Why don't you get to
that's how they prefer them, Hardy.
A nice macro batch. Get yourself a Budweiser hockey stick.
It bugs him how picky they are.
As a matter of fact, we probably have some giveaway Coors Light sticks in the back room. Get yourself nice macro
brew. Because it's
all
mentals, though. Yeah. It's a mental thing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. If I don't have it, I won't
be
happy.
It's like Tom Brady. Tom Brady would need his footballs at 11.5 or 10.5 PSI. Not because it makes him any better, because he's a mental case.
Tad under 10 and a half.
That was ridiculous. Didn't that turn out to be completely absurd? How's Tom Brady? How did he look the season after that?
Looked pretty good.
When they were checking his footballs every damn game.
Looked good in the Super Bowl.
Oh, I think he looked great. Because it's just all mental. It's just nonsense. Yeah. Didn't make him any better. Just all in his head.
Yeah.
Equipment.
Yeah.
The obsession over equipment is overdone.
Right. Most of what these guys do, they can all perform at a high level physically. Yes, it comes down to the psychological and the mental side of things. To say that it doesn't matter, you're kidding yourself. Absolutely matters to these guys. Now, whether you think that's a reasonable thing to matter to you, that's another difference entirely. But we've seen other people in other professions get thrown off by way less. You know, we've seen other people have small things go wrong technically that, you know, just can't function, and it shouldn't inhibit their performance at all. But just, you know, the slightest change in something that is seemingly a mental change.
What are you talking about?
Where do we begin? Have you spent complaining about that headphone jack?
I have my finger on it right now.
Yeah.
I'm holding it. So I could hear you.
Not getting you.
Well, that's like saying that you should play with a broken stick. I'm not saying you should play with a broken stick. So
tape it up. I'll tape it up.
Right, that's broken.
I tape it up and go.
You should play with a fully functional stick. It's just like the obsession over which one. Like right now, Jake DeBrusk needs to play with the stick that has the hole drilled into the blade. Like, what? Oh, so the stick without the hole in the blade is no good?
Wind resistance.
You're not going to be able to shoot anymore?
You haven't done studies against wind resistance.
You don't think part of this is a little ridiculous?
That Charlie McAvoy should have changed his stick 2 months ago. I get it. For some of these guys, it probably would have made sense. But it is what it is.
By the way, McAvoy took a headshot the other day, and there's going to be no review of that hit, by the way. Well, Lozon is whacked for 2 games, which is not inappropriate, by the way. Some real hypocrisy there in that game by the league. You know who I do feel bad for?
And now an ode to the composite stick.
Jack, I can't believe that was real.
He had it right all along. I feel bad for these people on this flight from Toronto to Jamaica.
Ooh, I want to take you.
Flight WS2707.
What's flight?
Some guy on the flight stood up, announced that he was recently in China and had contracted coronavirus. Gets up and announces it to the plane. The announcement was then obviously shared by the flight crew to the captain. And you know what he had to do?
Land that sucker.
Turn the plane around and go back to Canada. Because it was a publicity stunt by an up-and-coming rapper.
Oh.
Do you know what that man should do?
Never fly again.
Time.
Sentenced to death.
Yes.
I've said it time and time again.
Could you imagine going to Jamaica on a vacation?
Do you know how we clean up the jackasses in the world?
Get rid of them.
Death penalty.
Okay.
Yes.
For what you might think is a minor infraction, I think is fully worthy of such a sentence. Like the people on the plane who
they must have thought
grab their bag and run by all the rows in front of them. Like those people when they don't have another plane to catch. If you have another plane to catch, I get it. But like the people that just think, oh, I'll just try and like cut getting death. I'm telling you, we can clean a lot of things up in this world by just quartering people.
Yeah.
Let's bring that back. Mm-hmm. That guy, you deserve it, man. That is, at the very least, Hardy, you're right. I mean, being serious, I'd throw him in jail for a week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Death might be a bit much.
Yeah, no, it is.
Make him sing rock music. You're no longer a rapper.
Especially if you're an up-and-coming rapper. If you're an upper...
It would solve things, though. Tell me it wouldn't solve problems.
If you're an up-and-coming comedian, I get it. That's a good gag.
Real quick.
That's a good bit. You know, that's Kaufman-esque, standing up on a flight and announcing you have coronavirus. I get it. That's a work. You know?
That's not work. Same thing for them. Death.
For a rapper? No.
617-779-0985. Let's get to the action update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios in the noontime hour. Mookie Betts trade was completed over the weekend. We've been talking about that throughout the course of the day. We've got plenty more to get to. Let's get to your calls. John is in Worcester. Hey, John.
Yeah, you got to bring back the wooden stick guy. You know, have Al MacInnis show him how it's done with one of those, you know, Sherwood. You know, you got the PMP 5030s with the 6-wide. He'll break it right through the boards.
Bring back the cohos. That's what you need to do.
I got a couple wood sticks in my garage.
Yeah, everybody does.
I'll bring them in. Got little ones, big ones. We're out the bottom of it. We're playing street hockey out in the driveway.
It's not really a thing anymore. But everyone has
get
those.
You get the street hockey sticks for your. You didn't get them yet because your kids start beating the hell out of each other with them.
They have the small ones.
Yeah,
the short ones.
You don't want them long ones. That's why you start swinging them.
Yeah, they should just go to Dick's and buy the the packages.
Yeah,
for the basement hockey, the floor hockey, little goals. You get a couple of sticks in there. They throw them in.
Yeah,
as part of the package.
Package. Yes.
Yep.
Sure. Okay. Great. Let's go to, that person hung up. We got open phone lines. You want to grab one? Go ahead. We started the day talking about the Mookie Betts trade, which was completed again for a second time yesterday. And I think that Heimblum made a better deal over the weekend yesterday, completing his deal with the Dodgers. And when he got back in round two, than what he got back the first time he tried to make the deal. I look at Gratterall and say, glad they left that guy in Minnesota. And he was then subsequently traded to the Dodgers anyway for Kenta Maeda. So that didn't matter. He was moved anyway by the Twins. Like that part of it, the fact that the Twins were so ready to remove that player from their organization and move on from that player, doesn't that at all raise a red flag on that prospect?
Well, the fact that he's been shipped to two different teams within a matter of 3 days.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's like, no, okay.
The deal, that's that part of it, yes.
The three-way deal fell apart,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that was...
But they were the first to back out of the Red Sox.
That was what they were
giving
up anyway. But it was like, no, this is the guy. This is the guy you're taking. There's no other options here. This is the guy we're trading. I mean, they would have sent and received the same thing had the original deal gone through. Let's, be fully understanding of that. But they were like, no, this is the guy we're trading. Heimblum, over the last, let's say, 5-6 days, had a deal done. He came into a situation that was asking him to do things that are not ideal, like trading Mookie Betts. And he got a deal done. And then, according to a report over the weekend, media and fan reaction was something that gave Red Sox ownership pause. Let me read you the tweet. Ken Rosenthal tweeted on Saturday, real question is what the Red Sox want. The Twins could send Gratterall and lesser prospects to the Dodgers. Then LA could flip Gratterall and a better prospect to Boston. But some in talk sense that the negative media reaction to Verdugo-Gratterall return for Betts price gave Boston ownership pause. Negative media reaction, which sounds so absurd in and of itself that the Red Sox would say, oh, look at how the media has reacted. This is so bad. We can't do this. Like, there's no way it happened that way. It's ridiculous.
Can I give you a guess on that source?
It's crazy to suggest that. So, yeah, sure. Who?
Scott Boras, Gratterall's agent. Because now all of a sudden, he's looked at as, oh, if Kenley Jansen's not a good closer, Gratterall could be the closer. Have you seen the media reports come out since this trade has been reconfigured? It's all everybody knew about Gratterall's arm. Everybody knew he was going to be a reliever. It's all positive on the Gratterall front.
Everyone did know that. That's not somehow pushing an agenda. Everyone knew that. We knew that. Hello. We said that as soon as the name popped up.
But if that's true, this isn't because Gratterall's not a good pitcher. This is because the media attention got the Red Sox to rethink it. Or it's not because of Gratterall's medicals. Who wants to downplay the medicals? The agent.
Okay. Well, if that is true, if Ken Rosenthal is getting played by Scott Boras, and I think...
Not the only one.
I mean, did anyone else specifically have the media reaction as a report?
I don't think so, but okay. I just think Boras is playing all these guys.
I'm sticking with that at the moment. The media reaction was so negative. I don't think that that's why John Henry would call off a deal, but I think if the reaction being as negative as it was from both fans and media when they did the deal, that he decided to further look into what the hell the deal was that they had just done. That it may have, at the very least, contributed to him getting his attention, that he should take a harder look at it himself.
Yeah, that's fair then.
Contributing factor. Not the reason, because I'm sorry, if it were just about negative reaction, you're trading Mookie Betts. Like, the reaction was never going to be good.
They knew it was going to be that.
But it was bad. It was a bad fallout because people feel, and I felt, they had done a bad deal, and Heim Bloom got fleeced. He did last week. He got hosed in that deal. That was not a good deal for the Red Sox. This is not a good deal either because you're trading Mookie Betts, but it's a better deal. It feels more fair to me. I don't look at Heim Bloom as a guy who got screwed in this like I looked at him last week. I think he's redeemed himself in a significant way in the last couple of days in terms of how good he is at this job. Dealing with his former boss in L.A. and Andrew Friedman.
So you don't think they found anything in the medical report on...
No, I think it's bullcrap. And I think that those guys that say everyone should have known about this are right. We said it as soon as we knew his name.
Why would
I said, why are they going for this guy?
So how does John Henry not know?
He defers to the baseball
because
people
I think,
and the medical people on that.
I think that'd be a lot for John to expect John Henry or expect any baseball owner to know who
he's got people to
Bruce
Star
Gratterall is.
He doesn't have to know who he is, but when they bring the deal to him, I mean, the guy's not an idiot. You know, he didn't make a billion dollars, you know, because he's soft in the brain. He says, at the very least, who is this guy? What's his story? And the story is, well, he can throw 100 miles an hour, but he's already had Tommy John, and he missed time last year with his shoulder impingement. Is that going to be a problem?
See, they're being posed as complete morons for not knowing that, which leads me to believe that this is more of a reaction based on what the fans and how they were absorbing this.
I think there's a unique element to this.
They're not morons.
That I don't think we've ever really seen here. When was the last time you saw a deal where the return of prospects, and I'm going to consider Gratterall a prospect. He's not a proven major league player. When have you ever seen the intense criticism of prospects the way we did last week with the Betts deal? We've seen the Red Sox do deals before for other prospects where you're like, yeah, I don't know anything about him, and you move on. But when you trade a guy like Mookie Betts, a marquee player like that, as some will say, once-in-a-generation player, there's going to be intense scrutiny of whatever it is you get back in return.
And if you find the old story about Verdugo,
exactly,
or you find the medicals on this kid, then that's exactly what you're going to look at.
All right.
We're getting damaged goods in return.
Yeah, so people were taking a look at the prospects.
More so than in other deals.
Yes, a bit more.
And so I think when there was a reaction to prospects, it would be enough to grab his attention and say, well, I got to look at these prospects myself. What the hell do we get ourselves into? Let me look at it.
I think he looked at it.
Go get me more.
I don't think that's how it operates. I really don't.
You completely dismiss the notion.
Do you think the ownership has to sign off on trades?
Let me finish. You completely dismissed the notion that they found something else out in the medicals that wasn't disclosed
yes.
by the Twins.
Yes.
You said that's that out of the realm of possibility.
Yes, there's too much evidence to support what I believe.
Well, there are too many other options out there for all these teams to say, you knew what was going on. There's nothing in here that we didn't tell you. You can't back out of this deal. But then you have to take it to, oh, well, maybe the Red Sox found somebody else. Yeah, but maybe they didn't. You're saying that the Red Sox are just lying about this.
Yes.
And the Dodgers and the Twins are going along with it. Because somebody is... Somebody is getting a lesser deal out of this. And it presumably, it's the Dodgers.
It is the Dodgers.
The Dodgers
they had to give up more because of the Red Sox stalling.
Okay, but they knew what the deal was. Everybody knew what the deal was, and nothing changed after the medicals. So why would the Dodgers agree to this? Why would the Dodgers agree to give up more?
Because at some point in the last week, or what day was it, 5 days ago, 6 days, someone else called. Because while this was all playing out, they had to have had other suitors.
It's all
otherwise, the Dodgers are idiots.
Or else the Dodgers look at it and say, hey.
If there were not other suitors, if the Padres didn't call back, or another team in baseball didn't call, and the Dodgers were now bidding against themselves, yeah. then they're idiots.
But now you're speculating on top of speculation. You're adding speculation on layers of speculation. Where
this is what we do. It's all speculation.
Maybe, I mean, yes, maybe you got fleeced.
Are you kidding me? Now we can't speculate?
I'm willing
to
at least accept in the realm of possibility that, oh, something popped up on that medical that wasn't at first disclosed.
Was it a shoulder impingement? Was it a bad elbow? All the things that... What other parts of the arm are there that could be trouble?
He's
Gratterall.
He's fine. He had a sore shoulder. He missed some time. You look at the medicals. Oh, that looks like it's more than just a sore shoulder. There's something else going on there. Yeah, we didn't know about that either. And whether they did or not, then it comes out, and then they got to change the deal. These deals don't get changed to this extent all that often. Once the deal is in place, and once we hear who the players are and what the pieces are, they generally don't change to this extent. So something happened. Something happened just beyond John Henry waking up from a nap and saying, oh, I got to find out about what I've done. Are you kidding? The billionaire owner is somehow left out of the most basic of conversations.
See,
what's wrong
I don't
with this
think
guy?
They have to run the trades by the owner. I don't think that happens.
With a brand new GM who's been there for 15 minutes.
He may have
They don't have to run this up the flagpole. They don't have to take it all the way into the owner's office.
What do you hire a baseball guy for? Henry doesn't know these prospects. He doesn't know these guys. He doesn't do that work. That's not what he's there for. I don't think any owner does that. All right, we'll pick this up on the other side with your calls. 617-779-0985. Also, is Alex Cora looking better today after a Wall Street Journal report? That's in the mix as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Before we get to Alex Cora, a quick email from Alex at work. He says, Beetle, I know you're joking about the punishment for the guy on the Toronto flight who got up and said that he had coronavirus. I suggested that, again, as I've suggested before, the way we clean up the jackasses in the world is we just start penalizing, hit him with a death penalty. You know, appropriate punishments for what you would think is a small misdeed. No, guess what? We're not done with you. He says, I know you're joking about that, but let me tell you, he writes, I'd be so pissed off if that happened on my flight that I'd support it. He says, at the very least, jail indefinitely until he pays each passenger $1,000. And he reiterates by saying $1,000 US dollars. Everybody gets $1,000 for for the inconvenience.
Oh, bullcrap.
From
more
the guy
that.
Who delayed the flight.
So say you get to Jamaica, right? The plane was heading to Jamaica. What do you
yes,
think
it one, was.
What do you think the first night was going to cost those people and transfer fees and taxes and all that stuff? And the food. I'd say it's more than a grand, buddy. It's almost like a free flight on that airline. You would need a round trip. Not international. Well, you are going to Jamaica. It's more than 1,000, I tell you that. They have me feeling any better about it.
How pissed would Zoe have been had that happened to him?
Do you know how angry I get if my flight's delayed 20 minutes?
20 knock minutes.
Knock on wood. Like, the last couple flights of Florida have been great. Like, you've taken off early and landed early. Like, this is great. Yeah.
An unruly guest.
Do you know how bad it would have been if Jim Rouse flight back from the Super Bowl?
243 guests were on the flight. 243 people. That's $243,000.
That's right there. Just right there. We're just $1,000 each. You're already at
243.
Yeah, quarter of a million.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, dropping a bucket for that airline.
No, it's not the airline. Is the airline responsible?
Turn around and you're my means of getting there.
Well, the story I read said they couldn't land. They were over the United States when this happened, and they couldn't land in the United States because they didn't want to.
Because there's a ban.
Infect right. another part of the country with this, or another part of the world with the virus.
Oh,
well, I mean, we have it here in the United States, but.
But by the time they landed, they knew it was a hoax.
What did you just like? You know what? We as flight attendants, we're gonna go hide in the back room. You people on the plane, do whatever you want with the passenger up front because it's a hoax.
The best part is that the story I read didn't name the guy. So if he's an aspiring rapper looking for, like, publicity...
It didn't work.
I didn't know who it was.
His name's out there, and he's mostly on SoundCloud and YouTube.
Oh, you've been on SoundCloud?
Yes, I have.
With your hoo-hoo-ha-ha Michael A'o Manaonui song. You put that on there.
That's right. his name is James Potok.
A good rap name.
He said he was trying to get a viral video going. I'm an artist. Any publicity for myself is good publicity.
That's not good publicity.
He has fewer than 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, just over 34,000 followers on Instagram, and 216 fans on SoundCloud.
He's raking them in.
I'm looking at the flight path and where they were when they had to turn around. They were just south of the Florida border.
Oh!
Oh, man. This is good practice for the Brady thing. Checking the flight paths.
They turned around over Jacksonville. That's exactly where they were.
They could have stopped in Jacksonville.
No, I'm not kidding.
Do you know that...
They turned around in Jacksonville... And they went from Toronto to Jacksonville and then did a full loop and went back to Toronto. Holy crap.
There was a plane this weekend that broke the US to London flight time.
I saw that.
Broke the sound barrier.
So they left at 9:58 a.m. and they flew for 4 hours and landed at the same airport.
You think they ran out of snacks?
Oh, I would have murdered that guy, even if I thought he had coronavirus. I would have ended him right there. Oh, my God. We just flew for 4 hours, and we landed at the same place we took off from. 4 hours in flight to land back in Toronto.
Imagine if you're somebody that, like, takes an Ambien and goes to sleep and wakes up and you're in Toronto.
From 9:58 a.m. until 2:11 p.m., the length of this show, they took a Zolak and Bertrand four-hour flight and ended up in the same place.
Do you want to hear some of his music?
Yes.
Yes.
The song is called...
I don't want to stick around or I'm a drown in this scene. Without a Juliet.
Oh, more modulated rap. Excellent. I don't
have enough of this crap.
You know I hate it, yeah. You know
it's
I hate
that bad.
It, yeah. You know I hate it, yeah. You know I hate it, yeah. You know I hate it. You know I hate it, yeah.
Well written.
You keep dragging me down, but you know I wanna leave. Shorty, let me out, cause I think I'm in too deep. Sick of being
so. Not only is he obnoxious, he is. We're giving him what he wants right now.
Yeah.
He sucks.
Who's better, him or Sony Michelle?
The next time this happens, you want to get up and declare you have coronavirus.
Yeah.
We open up the back door and we kick him out.
Why is he disguising his voice?
Backstage sipping on that perp. Yeah, run it like.
Why are you disguising your voice? He's such a good rapper.
Or you lock him in the bathroom. You pick a bathroom on the flight. And you lock him into the bathroom.
And they have Howie and Winship go in there.
No,
with him.
you lock him in there. And then that's the quarantine. And then you get to sit in that bathroom until we fly the plane back to Toronto. And we fill the plane back up. And then we fly back to Toronto. We'll let you out of the bathroom when we get there.
Do you think he has a band, Hardy? Like, or is this...
That's
not him.
Oh, no, that's featuring Wavy. He has a lot of other artists featured on some of these tracks. He's out there. He's collaborating. He's doing his own stuff.
Well, if he ain't collaborating, I mean,
here's a Doctor by Potok Philippe, produced by TLC. Like with
the TLC,
Left Eye Lopez,
T-Boz,
no,
Left Eye,
like everyone,
Chili.
Every one of these,
all three of them,
the same, and they're all derivative of something else. They all suck. Not good.
Said you wouldn't change, but you switched.
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on this? Your thoughts on the Red Sox
sucks.
Over the weekend? Your thoughts on Tom Brady? The latest rumors there? And your thoughts on Alex Cora?
Hey,
we will get to it. Does he look better now?
Did you watch the XFL over the weekend?
Oh, okay. We're throwing that in there
too, I guess. Because I did. Not bad.
All that's on the way.
Not bad.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Also over the weekend, a report from Wall Street Journal on dark arts and Codebreaker. It turns out the Houston Astros started cheating prior to Alex Cora being there. In fact, their interns came up with an algorithm and a spreadsheet system called Codebreaker. Yes, this started in September of 2016. End of the 2016 season, right? That's when the entire presentation was made to Jeff Luhnow. So it's sort of been portrayed that Alex Cora was the mastermind behind what was happening in Houston. And some people have now said, well, no, obviously not the case. So September of 2016 is the first time that it comes up when an intern in the Astros organization showed Jeff Luhnow the latest creation. Okay, do the timeline on this. So September of 2016,
yeah,
season's pretty much over. September 22nd. 2016. Do we think it was implemented at the end of the 16 season before the season ended? Or they're tampering with it using video trying to figure it out?
I think it's in the beginning stages.
Right. So when did the
this all came to, you know what? I get this great idea in February.
Right. So Alex Cora walks into the scene September 2017 as the, just the year 2017, 2017 right. season.
Fast forward to the spring.
And now Alex Cora is there. And he sees and hears what these interns are up to. Right. So you guys got a system?
Gosh, hey,
let's put this thing to use.
Now, me being the role player and utility guy that I was, this is pretty much my job to look for other ways to help being around the game and doing all this. Believe me, I went through that, stealing signs and all that.
So these interns,
hey, I can help you perfect this.
You know, the interns and front office nerds can come up with the system. Who's going to implement it for them?
A former player and a guy that's been through it.
Bingo.
Knows how to steal signs. It's been there. Knows how to catch us. Knows how to relay them.
Like, I just need someone to explain to me how he's exonerated now, because they came up with an algorithm before he got there.
Hey, plus I'm multilingual.
He implements it and uses it in real time. He's even asking stadium personnel to install a video camera, and install a monitor that is linked to the center field video camera. Where's he exonerated in all this? He's the guy who comes up with the idea to start banging the trash barrel down in the tunnel. He's the one taking the algorithm and putting it to work. Code breaking. That's dark something. Arts.
Who came up with the buzzer? That's what I want to know.
Here's what I would say. It looks a little different in that it wasn't as if the Astros were on the up and up and they had everything clean as a whistle there. And then he showed up on the scene and was like, guys, we need to cheat. No, turns out the Astros were looking to cheat. And Alex Cora and the Astros were the perfect marriage because Cora loves this stuff. He loves stealing signs. And so then they got together and they did it. Does he look as much as the mastermind now as he did maybe a week ago? No, maybe not. He had willing participants and support throughout the organization to do it. That does look a little different. He was not the lone cheater in this case. He was not acting alone.
Yeah.
He had help. He had support. And they were looking for a guy to implement it. And obviously, A.J. Hinch didn't want to implement that. He didn't really want to get too involved in that, smashing his monitors, smashing the screens.
Cora would know it, too. Okay, I've been out there at bat in Major League Parks. What's the signal that I could use? Banging a drum, that'd be good.
But now I look at the Manfred statement and say this was carefully crafted and carefully worded, and they suspect that Jeff Luhnow in that front office was loaded with guys that knew about this stuff, that helped implement this stuff, that provided resources to make this happen, and they completely wrote that part of it off. They didn't publicly shame Jeff Luhnow while privately they were writing him letters, and this is how the Wall Street Journal piece was written, where he was chastised in a letter from Manfred to Luhnow saying, there's enough evidence here to support the finding that you knew what the hell was going on. And they never said that publicly, which tells you what you already thought. We all thought it. Baseball's hiding something and possibly hiding the use of buzzers. And this is where you can say baseball's full of crap because they're not telling you the whole truth. Now we have confirmation of that. And so we're going to keep questioning about the usage of buzzers. And here's A.J. Hinch's answer. This happened on Friday night on MLB Network. He did a sit-down interview, a taped interview with Tom Verducci. And Verducci flat out asks him to assure the world there were no buzzers being used.
As people are looking at the Astros in a very different lens based on the commissioner's investigation, which includes now, in their eyes, the 2019 season, we've heard reports about Astros players wearing buzzers underneath their uniforms. That's how they're getting the signal, what pitch is coming. I know the commissioner's office looked into this and they determined there was nothing to it. Can you assure us there were no buzzers or anything like that being used?
Well, the commissioner, we got investigated for 3 months and the commissioner's office did as thorough an investigation possible. I mean, I know he mentioned the emails and the texts and the messages. And I believe them.
Oh boy. Why do you need to believe Major League Baseball? You were there.
I don't even know what that answer means.
You would know.
He looked at emails and text messages. I believe that he looked at the emails and the text messages.
What is he talking about?
I also believe that if you were going to go so far as to wear a buzzer and some kind of electronic signaling device on your person and that you had your players doing it, you wouldn't be dumb enough to email and text about it. You would put nothing in writing about it. Enough people have been busted by emails and texts at this point to where you wouldn't do that anymore. So did you do it or not? Was there anything going on? Well, they investigated. They looked at our texts and our emails. Can you put to bed once and for all the notion that there's any kind of electronic signaling devices? I believe their investigation. What do you say? What they said. They looked. Two letters. No. Or yes.
Wouldn't say it.
No.
You know why he wouldn't say it? You know why he wouldn't say it? Because he doesn't want to admit it. And two, if that was going on, there's a lot of people that know, right? The buzzers, players, coaches.
That doesn't sound like a two-person operation.
No, that's a lot of guys that would have known that that took place. And he's fearful that at some point someone is going to tell the story. And he doesn't want you coming back and saying, you told us that it wasn't going on. Well, I didn't say that. I just said I didn't. I believe the investigation. That's what? Like what? What a lawyered up, coached up response that was from AJ Hinch. That's pathetic. I basically hear that and say, okay, so buzzers were in play. Great. You guys were using buzzers. AJ Hinch wouldn't even confirm it. Wouldn't even tell you that they weren't, which tells me they were. And you've got Manfred who's saying one thing privately and another thing publicly. So he's up to no good, per usual. Manfred. What a stooge. Baseball man. Taking us all for granted. Taking the fans for granted. Losing integrity by the day. That's baseball right now. They're in a dangerous spot. Baseball. It's really bad look for their game. And by the way, the Red Sox were right to fire Alex Cora, and he should remain fired. They shouldn't bring him back. This doesn't change my mind about that.
What do you mean? You're talking about after a year?
No, they were right to remove him as manager, and he should not come back. He should not be brought back. And I assume that they want to, and that's why they're not naming a manager full-time. Or I don't think they're going to name a full-time manager. They don't have a manager.
Manager by committee?
They're going to name Ron. I assume this is just
Renicke after the
speculation. This is just full-blown speculation that Renicke will get the job in the interim. And the only reason they haven't named him yet is because they're waiting for baseball's punishment of Alex Cora. And they're hoping that it's a year or less. And then if it's a year, they will say, we're bringing back Alex Cora in a year. That's what I think they're going to do. Because they like him that much. But they were right to move on. They didn't fire him for what he did here. They fired him for what he did in Houston. And he deserved it. Sorry. Everyone that got fired in this deserved it. Lunau, Hinch, Cora, all of them. They all deserve it. 100%. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. And Hardy has some quarterback news that he will share with us. Oh. In Sports Hub headlines, that is coming your way right now. So, did you watch the XFL this weekend?
I actually watched a lot of it. Yeah.
Okay. That and a 17-game schedule. We'll touch on those items next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.